Welcome to the Church of Philadelphia podcast. Get ready for this message to ignite your faith as the power and love of God is shared through His Word.
Good morning and happy Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. I want to say that He's holy this morning. Hallelujah. That was a beautiful dance. Hallelujah. That should have stirred up a praise in somebody in their house. Hallelujah. He is holy. He is holy. Look at how unholy we've been. We can say that He alone is holy. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Come on, let's just give Him a praise this morning. Hallelujah. We come to say that He is worthy. He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the honor. He is worthy of the praise. Come on, right there, right where you are. Come on and begin to give Him a praise. Come on and clap your hands. Hallelujah. If you got to wave your hands, if you got to get up and run. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say that He is worthy to be praised. He is risen. We serve a God that is alive today. Hallelujah. Today, right now, and forevermore. We want to welcome you to Church of Philadelphia. Thank you so much for joining us this Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday. We come to celebrate that our God is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alter egos. And our foundation scripture is there, Judges 6 and 24. And today we're going to talk about the altar victory. The altar victory. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm already stirred up. I just begin to reflect on my life, and I just begin to look at all the different areas that I've seen God moving for me, and it just blesses me. It blesses me. Amen. Amen. But we're going to go ahead and get right into the Word this morning. I know that everybody is so excited to be celebrating our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He has done and the power that He rose up with. Amen. So first, I want to just go back and let's look at the definition of altar. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at the definition of altar. An altar is defined as places where the divine and human worlds interact, places of exchange, places of communication and influence. It's also defined as markers of a place commemorating an encounter with God, a place of sacrifice, and it's also called the table of the Lord by the prophet Malachi. And today we're going to really be focusing and honing right in on that part of the definition that talks about a place of sacrifice. So we're going to read Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Amen. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Luke 9 and 23. Hallelujah. I'm just thinking about, you know, I've had an altar experience. I've had multiple altar experiences at the altar, that place where I know that God has divinely touched my life and the changes, whew, the positive, permanent changes that He has made in my life. I'm excited for what He's going to do for all of us. Amen. All right. So y'all got it now. Luke 9 and 23. And it simply says, and He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Amen. So as we jump right into, we're going to be looking today at the altar, and we're going to be looking at the cross as a place of sacrifice. So you're going to hear me referencing the altar and the cross and the sacrifice kind of synonymously this morning. Amen. And so here we have that He said, and we're talking about Jesus, of course, and He's saying to them all, He's talking to His disciples, and He was praying, and He began to speak to them. And I love, and I like to pay attention to any time that I see the Lord Jesus Christ having a conversation, because in His conversations, it's always something to catch. There's always meat in just His conversations and just Him talking, you know, to the people that He was with at the time. And He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so at that altar, at the cross and at that place of sacrifice, it starts with the first thing that I'm going to talk about is that it starts with a choice. And I love how, you know, people say that God is a gentleman and He doesn't force anybody. He's given us free will. So it starts right here. It's with a choice. That little tiny word, if any man will come after me. There is a choice that we have to make. And when it says come after me, that means that if I'm coming after him, then that means that he's going before me. So when we make that decision to say, you know what, God, I'm going to decide to come after you, that means that the things that you wanted to do, that things that you had put before him, they got to take a back seat. They have to take a back seat and let him lead, because we're going to allow him to go before us so that we know which way to go. He's going to be our guide. He's going to be our direction. And sometimes it's a place of, you know, kind of like an anxious, kind of fearful place, like, okay, Lord, but if I truly let you lead, I don't know what, if I'm going to know when to turn, when, how long to stay here, when to go left, when to go right. But if he is leading you, he is going to make sure that you have a clear path to follow. And when I was reading this, it reminded me of a few times when I had to follow somebody in a car going to a destination that I didn't have. This was, listen, y'all, this is before GPS, and probably before MapQuest. But I didn't know where I was going, and I had to follow someone. And sometimes that person wasn't always the best leader who was driving ahead of me. Sometimes they went through a light and I got stuck at the light. And I'm like, man, y'all went through the light. You know I'm following you. And then you didn't pull over and wait for me to come. But this is how man is. You know, I've been in those situations where I had to say, oh, my goodness, now where do I go? Like, I'm driving slow because I'm like, well, are they there? Are they there? Oh, there they go. And then I caught it back. But God is going to make sure that when we make this decision to follow him, he's going to make sure that he doesn't leave you, that he doesn't forsake you, that he's not going to take you too fast. He's not going to take you too slow. He's going to lead and guide you at the right path that makes you be successful in him. And so I just want to minister to somebody today who has been a little bit fearful for taking that step to say, you know what, God, I'm going to allow you to have full control. I'm going to allow you to lead me. God says he's got it. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow and how your life is going to look down the line if you choose to follow him. If any man will come after me, he's moving. Sometimes he's not in the same spot. So you got to follow him to know when he's moved, from that spot and when to go, when to pick up. Because his disciples, you know, he would be like, okay, listen, y'all wait here. I'll be right back. I'm going to take you. Like, they were always in earshot of his direction. And he wants that same thing for us. It says, let him deny himself. So as we are denying self, you know, when we make the decision, because this is the first step in us having this altar victory, at that altar, at that place of sacrifice, at this place of the cross, that we have to deny ourselves. There are some things that we want that God is saying, I don't want that for you. I never said that for you. And so we have to deny ourselves. Because sometimes, you know, I hear a lot of people say now they're trying to get out of their own head. Have you ever been in that situation where you know that you're about to do something and you're in your head? That's yourself talking to you. So when God says for us to deny ourselves, we have to deny that voice within ourselves that's telling us all the opposite things that God is telling us. Telling us, okay, you're not going to be successful. You're going to fail at this. People are going to be looking at you. People, all of those things. So God is saying right now, just get out of your head. Get out of your head and to deny yourself. When you wake up in the morning, taking that breath that God gave to you, ask God, lead me today. Lead me today, God. I don't want to have my own thoughts. I don't want to have my own way in my head. No, I want to go your way. I want to go the direction that you tell me to go. You know, there's been some times I've been driving and I'm going a regular route, just a regular simple route, whether it's to work or someplace that I'm familiar with, and God will tell me to go a different way. And I'm like, okay, I don't know why he's telling me to go this way. Maybe he's helping me to avoid an accident or things like that. But in us going to God and saying, Lord, lead me, that means that we're able to follow him wherever he leads us. So we're denying ourselves, because myself will be like, why am I going to go that way when I know it's this way? There are things that we tell ourselves that God is trying to say something different. So we have to be in a place that we're able to hear as he is leading us. And it says to take up his cross daily. Take up the cross daily. This cross, this place of sacrifice, this altar, he's giving you the time frame. He's giving you the level of frequency that we need to deny ourselves, to come after him, to follow him. He said every day, daily. So it's not enough to say, oh, I went to church Sunday, I got God, you know, I did what he told me to do. And then the rest of the week, you don't even bother to listen to him. You don't even bother to seek him, to find him, to see what he's telling you to do. He didn't say, you know, it's weekly. He didn't say, oh, you know, just yearly. Okay, it's Easter, you know, amen for all of the people that are coming to the house of the Lord. But he wants you to continue to seek after him. Yearly is not enough. Weekly is not enough. He said every day, come to him daily. He's already giving you the frequency of what he, let me tell you something that our Lord and Savior knows. He knows that the enemy is after us. He knows that the enemy hates anything that he loves. And the frequency that the enemy comes for us, we should understand why God is saying, you need to come to me every day. Because once you conquer in that day and you think you've got it, the enemy is coming back the next day with something else or something similar or something different and something stronger. And so God is saying, I want to keep them from this what the enemy wants for them. I need you to seek me every day. I need you to deny yourself every day. I need you to be in a place where you can hear me each and every day. Whether that's you getting up in the morning and praying and talking to him and seeking him and getting silent before him and saying, God, what is it that you want me to do today? I've gone as far as say, God, what is it that you want me to wear today? Who is it that you want me to bless today? Who's on your mind today? Who needs a word of encouragement today? And I have to be open to if it's somebody I know or if it's somebody I don't know. I remember one time I went to the DMV. Need I say any more? I went to the DMV and I was there for a long, long time. And the lady there was so rude. I'm like, you know what? In my mind, this is myself not talking. This is myself. This is my Jersey roots. If you don't like your job, then why are you here? Like, you being nasty to everybody, but this is your job. So I had to quiet myself. I had to be in a place of, God, help me. I'm going to let you lead. And God told me to give her a word of encouragement. Now, this is a stranger. So I'm like, okay, you want this lady who's been nasty and rude to everyone, including me, just like you see on TV. And you want me to give her a word of encouragement? I'm a stranger. Like, is she going to even receive it? Deny myself. Get out of my own head. I found a piece of paper, a pen, and I wrote down whatever I felt like God was speaking to me to give to her. And on my exit, I handed it to her, and I walked out. When she looked at it, the facial expression changed. I didn't have to stand there. He didn't tell me to stand there, have a conversation. I just did what he told me, and I kept on moving. I don't know what that was to her and how that changed her day and how it could have even changed the course of her life. When we are obedient to what God tells us to do, as we deny ourselves, sometimes God is going to tell you to do something that doesn't make much sense to you. It might not even make sense to others. But what he's telling you to do, as you are truly having that place of sacrifice and being in that place of the altar, that place of denying myself, denying my own thoughts, denying my own feelings, I might feel embarrassed, you might think I'm crazy, and just taking up your cross daily and following him, there's a place of reward there. There's a place of fulfillment. And even you, after you've done it, after I did, I was just like, you know what, Lord? Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you today. As we're talking about, the first thing is it's about your choice. And this is a choice that you need to make each and every day. Like every day, I choose to be a mother. I choose to be a mother to my children. The blessings that God has given me, the many blessings that God has given me. My quiver is full, y'all. But it brings me joy. So even in that, that's something, a word that God spoke about me. But even in that, whatever God said, like, choose it every day. Choose to just say to yourself, God, I'm going to choose you every day. Go ahead, say it again. God, I'm going to choose you every day. The frequency is already there. He's already given it to us. So even as when people say, well, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do this. I'm taking back to the word because I'm denying myself because I got a response. Myself can respond, but I'm not even going to use my own words. I'm going to go right here. Luke 9:23, every day. Yeah, this is a day I'm supposed to choose him. Yeah. I'm not doing too much in choosing him each and every day. When I'm out celebrating, I'm still choosing him. When I have to go out of town, I'm still choosing him. When I'm on vacation, I'm still choosing him. It doesn't matter if I'm with this group of people or this group of people, I'm still choosing him every single day. Amen? Amen. Following him means to come after. It means I'm coming after. I'm allow him to lead. I remember when I saw that part, I was just like, you know what? When I was little, I don't know if y'all used to play a game called Follow the Leader, but I played that game, right? Friend telling me, close my eyes. All right, turn left, turn right, stop right there. One time, I was listening to her. I'm not going to call her name, but one of my childhood friends, and she misspoke. And I went forward, and there was a pole right there, hit me right in the head. And I had class pictures the next day, y'all. So I'm up here posing for the camera, smile, say cheese, with a big old bump on my head because I had the wrong person leading me, giving me the wrong directions. And that's something I won't forget. So when I think about letting God lead me, we've allowed ourselves to lead. We've let ourselves before, and we've let ourselves into the wrong area. And then we're like, God, please get me out. I'm sorry, Lord. This is not what you told me to do. This is what I wanted to do. So that's why he understands the plan of the enemy. We want to follow a good leader, a good shepherd that will not lead us into danger, that will not lead us into hurt, one that can strengthen us as we go and give us the direction that we need. It's what we need. It's what some people are praying for. Hallelujah. Is somebody praying for direction right now? And God is saying, just choose me every day, and I will lead you, and I will guide you, and I will direct you. Amen? Amen. We're going to jump around in the book of Luke a little bit. Let's look at Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read two verses. So far at the altar, at the cross, at this place of sacrifice, the first thing was that it's our choice, right? We have to make that decision. It's decision-making time. So let's read 42 and 43, and then we're going to go into the second thing. It says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And we know this is a familiar story, but this is one of the malefactors, one of the criminals. There were two of them that were hung on the cross with Jesus. And the other one was just like, you know, like, yeah, if you Christ, get us down, take yourself down, get us, you know, free us. And the other one was like, he rebuked him. He says, you know what? Leave this man alone. He's done nothing. We're the ones up here, and we are actually really criminals. But it was this verse that really, you know, that really stood out to me. It says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the response of the Lord, he gave him a promise. In verse 43, he gave him a promise. He said, verily I say unto you, unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That same day, y'all. The second thing about denying yourself is that if you are truly doing it correctly, it's going to open up the bowels of your compassion. In and of ourselves, when we're going through and when we're sacrificing, we don't need nobody to give us any requests. We don't want to hear any requests, but I want to let you know, even at that place of sacrifice and while you're going through, people are still going to be talking to you. People are still going to be asking you things. People are still going to be requiring things of you. Everybody's not going to quite understand where your sacrifice is. Some people are not going to understand your level of sacrifice. They're going to just be doing and being, and God is allowing them to. Here is Jesus hanging on the cross, and these men are having a full-blown conversation with him. While he's suffering, while he's sacrificing, while he's in that place of denying himself. Don't you understand that when you make that decision, because that was step one, once you make that decision that people are going to still talk to you, people are still going to bring you things, people are still going to come to you because they need help. If we're really doing it the right way, in spite of what we are sacrificing, in spite of what we might be denying and telling ourselves no about, people are still going to come with a need. And God will open up the bowels of your compassion because he's the one that's leading you and he's the one that's strengthening you through this place of you being at the altar, through this place of you taking up your cross every day, through this place of you sacrificing. This man went to Jesus and said, please remember me. Please remember me. His request was met with a promise. His request, he's requesting to someone else who is suffering, someone else who is sacrificing for the entire one, all of us, sacrificing for all of us. And he's giving him a request. At this time, you asking me for something? Think about our human response. Think about when God tells you to give of your funds and it's a sacrifice, and then somebody come and ask you for money. Think about your human response. If you're saying, you know what, God, I'm going to deny, you know what, I'm gonna turn my plate over, I'm gonna fast today. And somebody asks us, can you take me out to eat? Think about your human response. When you're in a place of sacrifice, and some of us are sacrificing way greater things. I'm just giving you examples of how even in these simple things, how you would humanly respond. God is still gonna have people coming to you. There's a work that still needs to be done. Even in this choice that you've made to be that sacrifice, to be that living sacrifice every day, let the bowels of your compassion be open. Let God talk to you about his people. Allow yourself to be vulnerable and sensitive to the request of his people. How many requests have we denied because we felt like we were going through too much ourselves? And what can we give to somebody because we're sacrificing and it's hurting us? How many mistakes have we not forgiven? Because remember, this man who's given a request is a criminal. He's hanging on the cross for his actual sins and the things that he has done. Jesus is flawless. Jesus could have said, hush, you up here because you did what you did. He said, no. He said, verily I say unto you, because you asked me to remember you, because you acknowledged who I am, you're going to go with me to paradise today. This malefactor, this criminal, was one request away from a promise. We are one request away from a promise. All you got to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. Humble yourself and say, you know what, God, it's not about me. I acknowledge my faults. I acknowledge the things that I've done. We are one request away from a promise. There are some people that we have to give the promise. God is making us, he's putting us in a position to be able to honor and give a promise. But we have to be open to the request. We can't shut our ears down to the request. When I'm going through something and then my child comes and asks me for something, I can't say, go fix your own food. She's 3 years old. I have a three-year-old. I have to be open to the request, even though I'm focusing on what I'm sacrificing. I'm focusing on, Lord, I'm trying to make sure that I make it through this day or whatever God is telling me to do. I can't just shut everybody out. People are still going to be talking to me. People are still going to be talking to you. People are still going to come with needs and requests at once. And this is the time at this altar place. This is the time to be open, to let the bowels of your compassion work. There's so many times that we've shut it down because we were compassionate and then that person just took it and squandered it. That's why so many of us don't really give to homeless people like that. Let me talk about this for a little bit. Because you're so afraid of, what if I give them money and they go use it on drugs? What if I give them money and they go squander it? But when you're in a place of sacrifice, and if this is a person that God is, he actually wants you to be a blessing to them monetarily, or to actually buy them food, or to actually, Lord, I just think about my mom. She used to bring people off the street and feed them and stuff, and I would be so embarrassed as a kid. But now I understand she was denying herself, and she was honoring the request. Ooh, Lord God, why he keep talking about this? She was honoring the request, that we have to still honor the request. Like God may say, yeah, go ahead, give it. We got to be open. We can't stay in our own head like, I don't know what he's going to do. As soon as I drive off, we can't. And even if they did do that, God, it still might be a test for you. He's trying to see, are you going to be compassionate? Because they're just one request away from their promise, just as we are. One request. What is it that you haven't asked God yet? What request is right there on the tip of your tongue, but you swallowed it? Oh, let me just keep going. Has pride stopped you from your requests? Has it been a lack of an answer in the past? Is that why you won't ask God the request? Honor him. This man said, Lord, remember me. Think about the magnitude of what he's asking. He has lived a full life up until this point of doing whatever he wanted to do. And this is his one chance, my God. This is his one moment before he left this earth to ask God, please. He confessed his sins. He said, you know what? I know why I'm up here. But Lord, remember me. He wasn't afraid to ask something so crazy at the time of Jesus' time of sacrifice. And he was met with a promise. The response was a promise. Verily I say unto you, verily is like, this is for sure. This is of a truth. And you ain't got to wait for it. This is nothing that you have to wait for. He said, today. So all of this time that we've been waiting to ask God some things, he's ready to give it to you today. He was ready to give it to you that right in that moment. But we've allowed the enemy, we've allowed ourselves, we've allowed other people, we've allowed situations and circumstances to stop us from just asking that one request. And if we would just open up our mouth and ask God, that he'll meet us with a promise. I want somebody to be encouraged today. Give God your requests. At this time of you being a living sacrifice, at this time of you being at that, you know, taking up your cross, because we're looking at the cross as an altar today. Ask and let him give you your promise. Amen. There are some things I've been afraid to ask because I was afraid that the answer would be no. But ask it. This if we can look at this malefactor or this criminal and the boldness that he had and the reverence that he had in this moment, that means that there are some people there are some people right now that you've been praying for and they've been living a life of not being saved, not believing in God, not living, you know, not having accepted Christ. But they're just one request away. They're simply one request away of saying, Lord, come into my life and please wash me of all my sins. You think Jesus is going to deny that? You think Jesus is going to deny that request? So we have to be in a position that we're open to hear God, so that when people come to us with requests, that God, the ones that God wants us to answer, that we'll be open to. First of all, we have to be following him so we can hear that we give that request, that we are able to answer that with a promise. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. And so far at this altar, at this place of the cross and at this place of sacrifice, we know that first we need to make the choice, right? Two, we need to be open to hearing God so that we can be sensitive to him, so that our compassion can be open to his people and the people that he wants us to respond to. Well, let's look at Luke 24, verse 2, 3, and 6, okay? It says, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And then verse 3, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And then verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? So here we have, you know, we have the women, and the Bible says a certain other. So everybody wasn't named because they took a day off. They were getting everything ready to put the spices and everything on the body of Jesus. This is after he's, you know, died on the cross. And they took the Sabbath to rest. So then the next morning they were looking and they were going to go. So they were going to go do what they were going to do. But they found that the stone was already rolled away and the body of Jesus was not there. So with their own physical eyes, right, they saw that the stone was rolled away. When they got there, the stone was already rolled away and the body was no longer present. They're standing there looking with their own physical eyes that the stone had already been rolled away and that the body of Jesus was no longer there. But you know, after they saw that the stone was rolled away and the body of Jesus wasn't there, they still didn't get it. I'm going to take a pause. They were experiencing the fact that Jesus had already risen, right? Because they got there. Stone was already, it's supposed to be closed up. Like, they're supposed to need help to get that. Stone was already rolled away. Open grave, looking at where the body's supposed to be, and there's no body present. There's no body there. The Jesus' body was not there. But they still didn't get it. It took verse 6 where the angel began to say, he's not here. Let's start with the obvious. Because y'all already see that, right? He's not here. He's risen. Remember he told you this? This is what he said he was going to do. How many of us are seeing with our own physical eyes the things that God already told us he was going to do and we just don't get it? Prayers that we have prayed, we are seeing the manifestation of the answers with our own physical eyes, and we still don't understand. Don't you remember this is what God said that you would have? Don't you remember that God made this promise to you? You're living it. You're experiencing it right now. They were living it and experiencing. It blew my mind when God showed me this. They saw that nothing. He was not there. It took the angel to say, hey, remember he told you this. He's already spoken this to you. The fact that you're right now listening to the word, he already told you that you are a woman of God. You're living it. He already told you you're a man of God. You're living it. He already told you, for those that are married, he already told you that you will be a husband. He told you to be a wife. Every day, you're living it. Remember, he said it. Remember, he said that you weren't going to have that. You weren't going to be in that place anymore. You're going to move to a new spot. Remember, this is it. We have to be reminded of the promises. There were times when we did make requests and God answered us with a promise. And when we see it, it doesn't dawn on us in that moment. This is what God said. We have to acknowledge that God does what he said he was going to do. Don't you remember? Do you remember what God spoke to you when you prayed? Do you remember what God spoke to you when he led you to that scripture? Do you remember? He said, remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee? He already told you this. He already let you know ahead of time that this is exactly what would happen. And we have to be in a place that we look around with new eyes. Look around. When I turn the key into the door of my house and I'm just in there, I need to stop and be like, God, I remember you said this. I remember you spoke this. I remember when I had my youngest daughter, that she was still in my belly, that God told me that I wouldn't struggle adding another mouth to feed, because and it's naturally like, oh my goodness, it's another mouth to feed, the way prices are and all of that stuff. And God knew that I had that was like a thought. I didn't speak it out loud. I didn't even speak it to my husband, but I'm just like, man, okay. I know that we're supposed to have this baby, but like, how are we going to, you know what I mean? Like, how are we going to kind of survive? And God spoke to that. He spoke to that. And I remember, God, this is what you said. This is what you said. Do you remember that he told you? Do you remember what he said? Some of you right now are having a role in ministry, and it's more than you feel like, you know, you thought that you would be doing at this time. But I charge you to remember. I charge you to remember that God already spoke this. God already spoke to you about your life. God already spoke to you about what you're doing right now in this moment. And he already spoke to you about what is going to be. I charge you to remember. The angel had to remind them, y'all, this is exactly, not even, there shouldn't be any confusion, but this is exactly what he's already told you. When he spake to you, when he was, you know, alive in Galilee before he died, he already told you that he was going to rise again. Let the gratefulness, because there's so much to complain about. There's so much to look around and say, well, this is not a place. There's so much. That's why every day we have to go to God, because the flood of thoughts that the enemy brings, and even that we bring to ourselves, that's why we got to deny ourselves. But we have to fall back on God. Some of this stuff that you already said, and you've done it. Because the enemy make you feel like God ain't do half of what he said. Nope. I remember. I can go back in a notebook back in 2004 and read and see, oh, God, you said this. You already said this. Meanwhile, God is like, they finally remember. Meanwhile, he's just like receiving this praise. Yes, they finally get it. The joy that he feels. Yes, we remember, and we're going to remember. We're not going to allow the enemy to make us forget that God has fulfilled his word. We're not going to allow the enemy to make us forget that God is faithful. We're not going to let the enemy make us forget that we are seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's why we haven't fainted. We're not going to allow the enemy to make us forget. We might have forgot yesterday, but today we will remember. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So I'm getting ready to close. But this last part, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. So we see that us taking up our cross every day, that's our altar experience. That's us being a living sacrifice. It's a choice that we have to make. We have to be open to and sensitive to how God wants to move, even if that's him moving on our compassion for somebody else while we are sacrificing. And we have to understand that what God spoke, he is fulfilling his word. He is doing it. And that brings us to number four, the victory. But thanks be unto God. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is time for the people of God to experience the victory. All the sacrificing, the choice that you made, the times that you were compassionate, that you allowed God to speak to you even though you were going through, when you begin to remember and look around and praise and say, God, you did this and you said this and you did this. It is time for you to experience the victory. It is time for you to shout the victory. It is time to give him praise because he has given us the victory and he gave it to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to celebrate him today. We come to celebrate the fact that he chose us to live for him. He died for us and he loved us before we ever loved him. He has already given us the victory. And this scripture says that he giveth us the victory. The ETH stands that he is continuously doing it. It is a continuous thing. It's not he gave us the victory. Yeah, he gave it to us. He's given it to us now. He will continue to give us the victory. We don't have to be downtrodden and looking down and wondering and worrying. Because he's already given us the victory, and he's given us the victory right now, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need to choose him every day so we can experience the victory? Why do we need to deny ourselves and get out of our own head? Because he wants us to experience the victory. He understands what he has for us, the thoughts that he has towards us, the plans that he has towards us. He understands, and he said it's because he wants us to experience the victory. He wants us to experience the victory, y'all. There is victory in Jesus. For some of you who have been kind of like on the fence of giving your life completely and fully to him, go ahead and surrender. Go ahead and surrender, because there's a victory that he wants you to experience that you have yet to experience in your life, because you have been living without him. Just like that malefactor, just like that criminal, you're just one request away. Even those of us that have been living for him, today we still can say, God, wash us anew. Clean us. Forgive us all over again, God. Receive us, Lord. We ask you to come into our heart all over again. Let us deny ourselves. Let us pick up our cross every day. Let us be open to how he wants to move through us, how he wants to use us. Let us acknowledge that his word is true, that we can look around and see all the things that he's promised. We can see, we're living it, we're seeing it with our own physical eyes, that we can acknowledge him and praise him so that we can experience the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We glorify you, oh God. We honor you. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, oh God, that we may experience, oh God, the victory, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for this place of sacrifice. And we thank you, Father God, that you're in front of us, able to lead us, oh God, that you won't leave us. You will not forsake us, but you're there to guide us and to ensure, oh God, that we be successful in you. I thank you right now, Father God, for those that have been shying away from asking you things for whatever reason. I thank you right now, God, that you're empowering them right now and strengthening them, oh God, right now, oh God, to ask, to give the request, oh God. God, that you're waiting to give them the promise, Father. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we thank you right now, oh God, for prayers being heard and prayers being answered, God. We thank you, oh God, that we can experience the victory, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for the testimony that's on our lips of the things that you've already done, because you already spoke it. God, we say, oh God, glory and honor is due unto your name. God, we thank you for the victory, oh God. We thank you, God, for a victorious life in you, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we glorify you, oh God. We honor you, oh God, and we lift you up, oh God. Be high and lifted up, oh God. We thank you, Father God, for the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, oh God, that we will see, oh God, because we're seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There are things that you're showing us, God, even now. Your love and your compassion, your care for your people. Thank you, oh God, for your sacrifice. Thank you for sending your only begotten son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for accepting the assignment. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us each and every day, leading us and guiding us, showing us the way, helping us. When we don't know what to do, we can always go to you. And so, God, we give your name the glory, oh God. We give your name the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. And please make sure to visit us at churchatphila.com for more podcasts and ways to connect with us on social, to like, subscribe, follow, and share content as it comes along. Special thanks to those who give in so many ways to this ministry. We could not do any of this without you. And if you want to give or be a part, visit churchatphila.com/give for more information. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.